God is life. We've done God is light. And today it is God is love. Did you know that we've got three large banners on the wall of the church? There's the elephant in the room. Let's have a look at them. They've been there for quite some time, and they remind us very clearly of these words. And I trust that as you come in and out of the church in this coming year, that you'll have a look at those banners and you will be reminded of the precious truths that we've looked at over the past 2 weeks and again today. And this is a great foundation for us to be standing on as we begin a new year. When you know that God is life and longs to be in relationship with you, that is the greatest gift God can give to you. That is eternal life. And eternal life gives you meaning and purpose to every day and a great hope for eternity. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." You cannot buy your way into heaven. It's not a raffle that you can hopefully win at the end and pick up the prize. It's all been paid for you through what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Personal faith and confession of sin is the only guarantee you can have to get eternal life. And I just want to say this morning that if you're unsure about whether you actually do have eternal life, or you know you don't have it, whether you're here in church or you're listening online, there is no better day than today to pray and to ask God to forgive your sin through Jesus. Talk to someone that you trust and you know who walks with Jesus to journey through that decision and know deeply that God loves you. And God is light. He is holy and pure, and he longs for us as his children to live and to walk in light. The Holy Spirit empowers us and leads us in the way that we should walk, just like a torch that shines the way in the dark for us to take those steps. And the best thing of all about that is that it helps us to have healthier relationships with other people. And now today, God is love. At first, when I was thinking about this, I thought, oh, this is in the wrong time frame. We should have this message on February the 14th, Valentine's Day. That's when the world stops and thinks about love. But the love that we're going to ponder today is much deeper than that, because God is love. His very being is love. You see, love is not one of God's activities, but it is his very every activity. It's just who he is. He defines the very substance. He is love. Today, we're going to look at just a few verses that Chloe read to us from 1 John. You know, Sue told us last week that John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John and three little letters, and they're known as 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And John also wrote the very last book in the Bible called Revelation. He was the last man alive who had spent time with Jesus. So this is what he writes about, an eyewitness account of Jesus. John is also called the Apostle of Love. In John chapter 13 and verse 23, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. That must have so enriched his life. And I know for me, it really warms my heart to know that Jesus loves me. Our favourite song at Warrandyte Gardens, the aged care home we go to, is "Jesus Loves Me." Some of the dear folk who attend our services have lost the ability to speak. And yet when we sing, Jesus, love me, they actually sing the words and their faces light up. And that childhood memory comes back and they know indeed that God loves them. I tell you, for those of us that go, it's one of the most special moments when we see that happen. And how do we know that Jesus loves me? The second line in that song says, because the Bible tells me so. And that's what we're going to be looking at today from this reading, how much the Bible tells us that God loves us. In John 1, the word love in just five little chapters is used 45 times. I was really keen to see all those meanings and I printed it up. And I'm a bit old school, I like the hard paper and pen. And I got it and I highlighted every time those 45 words were mentioned. It was so powerful and it so encouraged my heart. Just 4 pages of print. And it's so good to see in that book of 1 John how God loves each one of us. And the impact of that love as we live that out in the world that we live in. Yes, we do need to look at love today and every day, and not just on February 14. You know, we've got one word in English for love. I say to you, I love fish and chips. I love my husband Peter. I love my family, my wider family. And I love God. I use that word love to describe all of those feelings, and you say that same thing yourself in different facets. Over the years, scholars have broken down the text of the Bible and divided it up into each of the examples of love into one of 4 categories. And C.S. Lewis has done this little doodle that helps us to really understand it a little bit more. The 4 words that are used in the Bible for love: storge, philia, eros, and agape. And I hope that this little illustration will help us to get an understanding of just how vast love is in the Bible. The first one is storge. It's a term for love in the Bible. This Greek word describes family love, the affectionate bond that develops naturally between parents and children and brothers and sisters. When our first grandchild was born, we loved him so much. We wondered if we could love the next child when we knew that was coming. And when they were born, we discovered that we did. And even when the third one came, Chloe, yes, that's you, we loved you just as much as number 1, 2, 3, and now we've got 12. And you know what? We love the whole 12 in exactly the same way. Because storge love knows no limit to the love. It just keeps growing and growing as the need arises. And Christians are members of God's family. On the Facebook post that I do regularly on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, I often start it with "Hi RCC family," because that's really special to acknowledge that we are a family. Our lives are knit together by something stronger than just physical ties. It's the bonds of the spirit. We are related with something more powerful than just human blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. God calls his children to love each other with the deep affection of storge love. And then there's philia. This is a type of intimate love in the Bible that most Christians practice towards each other. This Greek term describes the powerful emotional bond seen in deep friendships. And philia expresses experience-based love. And I personally see this in my life in our church connect group. Love is expressed within the framework of that group. We help each other. We pray for each other. We care for each other and we do things to enable each other to be all the stronger. And we don't just do it on a Monday night when we come together, but we practice it all through the week. And someone this morning was talking to me about how they can put that into practice towards somebody else in our group. That's the sort of love that we're talking about here. And I want to just say now that if you want to join a Connect group and you're not in one, by all means, come and have a chat to me or to Tom today. It's a great way to experience love and to be able to give it. Philia is the most general type of love in the Bible. It encompasses love for fellow humans, care and respect and compassion for people in need. And the concept of brotherly love that unites believers is unique to Christianity. Jesus said that philia love would be the identifier of his disciples. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you philia love one another. And that's found in John 13, 35. And then there's eros. This is the Greek word for sensual or romantic love, the red heart, as you can see. It talks about the Greek god of love was Eros, and that was relating to a sexual desire or physical attraction and physical love. And the Roman counterpart was Cupid, where we get that in our often thought about on Valentine's Day. Love in the form of Eros seeks its own interest and satisfaction, to possess the object of love. And yes, that's the sort of love that you will think about if you get your red rose on February the 14th. Then there's agape. This is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. This term defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is the divine love that comes from God, and we saw that in our kids' talk. Agape love is perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. It is not possessive. Jesus Christ clearly demonstrated this kind of divine love to his Father and all humanity in the greatest verse on love in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love is one of the most powerful emotions humans can experience. And for Christian believers, love is the truest test of genuine faith. Through the Bible, we discover how to experience love in its many forms and to share it with others as God intended. Let's just have a look now at 1 John 4 and just those six verses that were read to us. In verses 7 and 8, we see that love tells us that love is from God. Every activity of God is filtered through love. And children of God are to reproduce their heavenly Father's nature. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. You know, you might have grown up with very little love in your family home, very little expressed to you by your earthly family. But that does not define you. When you are a child of God and God's love is flowing in you and through you, you can know that every day of your life. That to me is just so, so precious to hang on to. We might sometimes feel very alone and feel no one loves me. And yet here in God's word, so clearly spelt out, we see that indeed God loves you. And then he goes on in verses 9 to 10. And these two verses explain love from God's point of view. So often we think of things from our point of view and how does this work for me? But verses 9 and 10 are all a perspective from God's account. And it tells us that God sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. And the artwork that we're using in this series has the picture of the manger there. And that is to remind us how Jesus came to earth. And the cross tells us that he came to die. Jesus died for our sins and to satisfy the righteousness of God on our behalf. We used to be enemies of God, but through Jesus' atoning sacrifice, we are friends and family of God. And in verses 11 to 12, we see how love demonstrates God. We love others, and God's love is made known in our actions. And he writes it, and he calls the people that he's writing to, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. During the week, I visited Kath Jones, a much-loved member of this church for a very long time. And I read to her today's passage that we were going to speak on loving God and loving others. And when I'd finished just reading those few verses that Chloe read to us, she said, Kay, this is not easy. And she shared with me how over the years she has sought to live this truth out in her family, and she kept working at that. And now she finds herself in care. And she said, Kay, some of the people working in the aged care, I really love. They're great. But others, And she shook her head. It's hard going. Then she added this very powerful statement. But I have to keep on working on this because that is what God requires of me. Kath is 96 in 3 weeks' time. Isn't that amazing? In a situation that she would not choose to be in. But in that, she knows that God's love pouring in her must flow out. And she's not to be a respecter of who she loves, even in aged care. I thought, you know, sometimes it's easy to think, oh, when I'm older, it'll be so much easier to love everyone. Well, let me tell you, at 96, 95 and 9/10, Kath doesn't find that to be the case. And if you want to be like Jesus and you want to express his love, you need to do it every day through your life, or whether you are the youngest here today is just 1 and a half, or through to dear Kath at 96. And what happens when we love properly? God will be seen in us. His love will be perfected in us. And it means that that love that you've got will keep on reaching a mature end. No one, the Bible told us in that verse, will see God physically. But they will see God as they see our love. How powerful is that? Did you realize that you were a reflector of God when you love? Well, the Bible clearly says you are. And you know what? You might be the only Jesus that some people will see. If we are loving properly and in the full maturity of God that God intended, following a pattern of selfless, sacrificial love, then you might find yourself acting in a way that is so countercultural in our world today. Someone might be just curious enough as they see you living that way to ask you, why do you do that? Why do you reach out and do things and care about people? And from that, sometimes then gives the opportunity to speak the words of your actions, and you will show God by your love. We've got a little, some gifts out on the table as you go. Someone made some jam. That was an act of love, wasn't it? Picked their own strawberries. Yes, people are looking at their jam that they made. That was Rebecca and Naomi, with their mummy's help, made the jam. And as an act of love, they brought it to church this morning to take home. I thought, might the jam serve as a real physical reminder of love? Because in that, we see someone's heart wanting to bless other people. And it's not sometimes the big things that we do in life, it's the small things where we express our love and care that it's all about. You know, the circuit of God's love is complete when we release love. If you think about your life, I want to ask you, have you got the on button on? So that the circuit of God's love can flow to the world around about us. It comes from God. It comes through Jesus who died on the cross. And when we become a personal follower of Jesus Christ, that love comes into us. But you can have a dead end in your circuit if that love never flows out. And that's why it's so important that if you are a follower of Jesus, that you allow that love to flow in you and to flow out. Who this week needs to see God's love in action from the people that you know? That's a challenge that we need to face every day as we go about our life. When I read through 1 John, I saw so many special truths on God's love. I just didn't know where to stop with the highlighting, but I've just chosen a couple this morning that just to me fit this series that we've been doing. In chapter 2 and verse 10, we get the blending of the thoughts on life, light, and love. And John says, when you love your brother, and it's not talking about a human brother, talking about the brotherhood in the family of God, you are walking in light. Because you are reflecting that light to others. And 3:1 tells us that God lavishes his love on you. How beautiful is that? You think about lavish love on Valentine's Day and what some people do, but God lavishes his love on you every day. How special does that make you feel when you belong to God and you know that? You know, our final song at the end today, I'm so glad somebody chose this one. It's the Reckless Love of God. And it talks about how God chases you down and fights till you are found. And how good and kind God is. That's the sort of reckless love. That's agape love seen in and through you. And chapter 4 and verse 18 says that there is no fear in agape love. Perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear of death when you have eternal life. Kath very clearly told me that this week. No fear. Because she knows where she's going. She has eternal life. And that's something that can change our whole direction and purpose when we know we have eternal life. Some people can become very fearful and can almost be crippled by the fear. And last night when I was watching the tennis, an ad came on. And it said, whatever would you do more if you feared less? It was an ad for Chubb Security. You know, put a secure door on, you'll feel safe, you'll feel secure. I thought, oh my, if only we knew and practice, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When you know God's love in your life, Whatever those fears might be that are there, they do not need to cripple you when you can have an understanding that God is at work in and through you. And 4:19, we love because God first loved us. Isn't that precious? God saw you when you were a sinner and he loved you. The key verse for me, though, that is so true to my life and it has been for a number of years is found in 1 Peter 4:8. Above all else, love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. I've got to tell you that my family, my church family, my neighbours, and my work colleagues are not perfect. They're like me. Oh. They are sinners. Yet when I love them deeply, and that love then covers their sins, my relationship with them is deepened. I have found this verse to be the greatest help to me to keep on loving and living in healthy relationships with my family. And I want to say to you, if you struggle in this area with loving family members that you just find a bit too much and a bit too difficult, then you need to take a big dose, a large pill of agape love. And you need to let it wash through you and help you to grasp, if you understand God's love and you are praying for that love to reach out, you will find that will help you to build healthier relationships within your own family. And you'll need also to have an act of forgiveness, just like you know God forgives you, so you need to practice that forgiveness within your family. I want to encourage you today to take to heart some of the things that we've been looking at. I want you to realize that God loves you. Yes, you. If you've never heard that before and never realized it before, take it to heart and know that God longs for you to be in relationship with him. And that comes through praying a sinner's prayer and knowing that you will then receive eternal life. And God longs for you to love others the way that he loves you. And if this is a struggle and you need some help to really work through these things, then feel free to come and talk with me or to Tom this morning if you need to think through any of the things that we've heard about in this series, that God is life, God is light, and God is love. Powerful for us to be able to consider that. Let's just pause now and we will pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, God, for your agape love to us. Unconditional, sacrificial, lavish love. And Lord, we ask that you will give us forgiving hearts as we seek to live out God's love in our relationships. Lord, we've stuffed up over and over again with those that we do love. And we ask that you will forgive us, Lord, and help us to forgive others. Lord, we want to be a chip off the old block. We want to reflect your characteristics in our relationships. We want to thank you that you give us eternal life through faith in Jesus. You give us light as we read your word and follow your commands. And your love knows no boundaries. And this we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. And how appropriate that we're now going to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us as Tom leads us into communion. Thank you. Would you like to stand?